cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Celebrate every one of you who is part of the church today. God brought you here because you are part of this work. I just want to encourage you, please remain resolute, remain strong. Don't be the type that is, you know, a pastor friend of mine worry. So, you know, my people. So she was angry about what someone did in the church. The next day she went to Facebook and said, I quit church. So pastor, fellow worry man too, didn't even follow her up. He said, don't mind the idiot. So not too long later, she changed her mind. And pastor says, when your father offend you, do you go to Facebook to say, I quit family? So why is it church you guys feel you can talk anyhow about? Do you do that to your dad or your mom? If you think anybody in the church offended you, you should have reached out to me. It is not to go to Facebook and say, I quit church. Now, the same church you said you quit, you are back. Don't let these people who don't have bearing pastor you. I tell sisters, don't marry a man who doesn't have pastor. So I tell brothers, don't marry a sister who doesn't have pastor. I'm not saying who doesn't have witch doctor. I say who do not have pastors. There are marriages that would have broken down if not for their pastor saying, no, you can't do that. So one young man started beating his wife recently, and then the elder sister of the wife reached out to me. So I said, what church did they attend? I wanted to say you should get the pastor to reach out to the young man. Say, they don't go to church. The only person that can pastor such a man at that point is a policeman. I say, get a police. No, if you are beating your woman, the only person that can handle you is a police. I speak to all of us brothers here. It's a police. You don't pay back whatever woman does to you by beating her. It means you don't know your capability. So I tell my wife, I say, see my blow. See my blow. If this one touch you, what do you say you go do? You will faint. So I will never prove that I'm stronger than you by punching you because I know who I am. See, in boxing, there are weight category. We have what they call flight weight. We have what they call, the one that anger me most is bantam weight. Bantam is the word for a chicken, a kind of chicken. So this one, you are a chicken. So men, they are chicken. Bantam weight. Super heavyweight. Anthony Joshua can never fight, what's that guy's name? The popular one that buys Mayweather. They are not in the same weight category. They are not in the same weight. Anthony Joshua is heavyweight. There is even super heavyweight. But Joshua is heavyweight. And then Mayweather is whether lightweight or whichever way. Is he and Pacquiao and Co. and they are in the same weight? Know the weight you belong in the spirit. Know certain things you walk away from. Small fry. You understand me? You have a pastor in the house. Please ensure that you make good use of your pastor. Can you say amen? Amen. All right. The Lord said a word to me about the church. The Lord told me to tell the church that you have come into the phase of evolution. Amen. You're changing. And he gave me a scripture. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. He said, behold, eyes have not seen. He said, ears have not heard. He said, neither has it come to the heart of any man what the Lord has prepared for Harvest Word. So it's about time when metamorphosis will begin to happen. So changes will begin to happen. Don't be the type that is against change. Get ready for a massive, major change and turnaround. If you believe me, can you say amen? Amen. God bless you, sir. God's servant. That's the word. I want to speak God's word to you this morning. And since this year is the year of mounting up with wings as eagles, your pastor, apart from being a prophet, is a sound teacher of the word. He would have taught you so much. Permit me to scratch some little things out of some of the things he would have taught you about mounting up with wings. Can I do that this morning, church? Okay, turn your Bibles to the book of Isaiah in chapter 40, and then I'll focus on that verse 30. Which we are used to, Isaiah in chapter 40. So if you need a title, just say mount up with wings. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Now you need to understand that the word of God is like a love letter very large, very big, that you can't exhaust in one day, that is written out to you. Some of the time you just go to a paragraph of that love letter, read it and see what the paragraph has to say to you. And some of the time you may even jump to another paragraph that may not be close to the paragraph where you've seen something, just to see what the Lord has to say. Can I say amen? Can you say amen? So we have read Isaiah in chapter 40, and then we looked at the last one. Before we begin to explain this last one, can we backtrack a little bit to verse 1 and 2 of this same love letter that the Lord wrote to us? So in verse 1, it says, comfort you, harvest word. He said, comfort you. He said, my people, saith your God. He says, speak comfortably to harvest word, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished. He said, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she shall receive of the Lord double for her sins. It says, for the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. He says, every valley shall be exalted. You miss a place to say amen. He says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Can you say amen? He said, and the crooked shall be made straight. Can you say amen? He says, and the rough places shall be made plain. Can you say amen? And it says, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. So you have come into a phase where the Lord is bringing comfort upon you. You are here, you've been worrying, you've been trying, you've been striving. You feel like you have lost count of praying and fasting that you have done. And it feels like, when is God going to finally remember me? I've come from a long way with a word from the Lord to you that he has remembered you. And in the name of Jesus, he's bringing you comfort. In the name of Jesus, he's bringing you assurance. In the name of Jesus, he's bringing you satisfaction. Your God will truly come. In the name of Jesus, he will come and save you. He will come and manifest himself unto you. You believe me? Say better. Amen. Amen. So in verse 31, we read there, he says, they that wait upon the Lord. Now, there is a little challenge about that word wait, because a lot of people think that waiting upon the Lord is a religious exercise. It's tied to just praying and fasting. But the reality of that scripture, to wait upon the Lord is not just pray and fast. If I have any artisan here, someone who learned a trade, you will realize that in being an artisan, there are three very important stages. The first stage is called being an apprentice. The second stage is called being a journeyman. And the last stage is called being a master. So when you are an apprentice, you stay with a boss. And all what you do is to wait on that boss. For years at a time, 3 years or 4 years, you wait on that boss. All what you do is to keep looking at him. As you keep looking at what he does, gradually you are becoming that thing you keep looking at. That is how God takes waiting upon him. You become an apprentice of God. You align yourself with the Lord as you keep looking at him. I keep telling them in our church, you are not here to shout hallelujah. You can do a better hallelujah in your house. You are not here to sing and dance. You can dance better in your house. You are not even here to get a miracle. If you love the Lord and you serve him, you can get a miracle in the house. We come here for the assembling together of the saints. There is an anointing that cannot happen in your house. It's called corporate anointing. Apostolic may happen if you're an apostle. Prophetic anointing may happen if you're a prophet. But you only need to come together with other saints from other tribe, other gender, other mindset for you to get a corporate anointing. So when we get a corporate anointing, you bless me, I bless you. As you see me, so I know Sabine sing. But I feel preach well. So when I come to church, I have those who can sing. Be a blessing to me. Are you hearing me? We have others who can do some of the things. Be a blessing. So when we wait upon the Lord, it means we align with the Lord. We are quitting our ways. We are quitting our mindset. We are quitting our attitude. We are dropping what used to be us, and we are becoming more like him. So when we come to church, it's like a school. How many of you studied law here? You became a lawyer. Or you became a doctor. Okay, let's take our sister for instance. When you first got into school, law school, you may carry badge, law sir or whatever, law student association. You don't know jack about law. If anybody called you baby lawyer, they were fooling you. You were not baby nothing. You know nothing about law. You become a baby lawyer when you are called to the bar. Huh? But when you keep sitting under a lecturer, week in, week out, you are gradually becoming the law. Before you know what, as a graduate of law, there are a number of Latin aphorisms that you must have in your head. And people, when they say an argumentative person, they say, oh, you are a lawyer. That's an insult on that noble profession. See, lawyers don't talk anyhow. You know why? If you have a lawyer who talks anyhow, he will lose case for you. When you go to a court, you have a judge who sits. Two things lawyers do that the judge pay attention to. One, you must quote the right section of the law. According to section this, subsection that, the law says, and then you quote. The judge at times will ask you, where did you quote? He notes it down. If you are quoting the right section, you are gradually tilting towards winning the case. Secondly, he will watch out for your interpretation. Are you rightly interpreting that section of the law you quoted? He are winning a case. It's not by stupidly being argumentative. If you do that, the judge is going to walk you out. Say, get out of my court. A judge can do that. So you see, you must quote the right section. You must rightly interpret it. That is how being a believer is. You need to sit under God. You drop your ways. You know you are quarrelsome from where you came from. You need to drop it. And then you are gradually picking his ways. You are gradually picking his thought. That's why the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55. When you look at verse 7 of Isaiah in chapter 55. The Bible says, my thoughts. No, he said, let the sinful man forsake his thoughts. Let him forsake his thought. And the unrighteous man, his ways. He says, your ways are not my ways, saith the Lord. Your ways are not. It's a mistake when you want God to be in your mode. And that's what we have in modern era. Many people who think that God can be deciphered by your brain. Your brain is too small to be able to master God. So we have many cerebral people who preach this gospel. And they make a mess of an eternal thing because they try to use transient mind to describe what is eternal. He said, your ways are not my ways. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thought. Let him return to the Lord. He will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Look at the next thing that follows. Verse 8. Look at the next thing there. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways. He didn't say, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways. He said, no, neither are your ways my ways. Why? Because we tend to think that God behaves like us. When motivational speakers say, you need to know that you are a God upon the earth. You need to know you are the best thing God made. Shut up. You need to surrender yourself under tutelage and tutors of the word of God for you to be upgraded before you can say you are manifesting yourself as that God. How many of you will submit yourself to a student doctor? He's studying medicine. He's in second year. You say, can you please open me up? Omo, you are dead. Someone stop. Otilo. Not dead. Before you surrender yourself to such a person, buy coffee. So my wife was saying the doctor was complaining to her. So you just treat malaria by yourself in the house. You don't come to the hospital. I said, when next they talk? Say, sir, before you became a doctor. All of us in Nigeria, we are all doctors. We are either herbal doctors or medical doctors. I said, that doctor too, when he was not yet a doctor, he used to treat himself in the house. His mother used to treat him in the house. I said, it's just because he's now a doctor. That's why he's talking. We Nigerians do that. Am I lying? But you see, that's quackery. The doctor says most of the time you treat malaria. Some of the time you're malaise, you are weak. You know the reason? There are other medicine you should be given after anti-malaria that you're not given, like B-complex and other multivitamins. So you are weak despite malaria is gone. That's how some Christians are. You have dealt with the devil. You are weak because you don't have the proper word of God in your life. You like to go to churches where you dance and fall under anointing and you are vomiting. If you vomit in my church, we have rug in the church. If you vomit there, you will pack it. When you become conscious, I say, okay, okay. A, B, yeah, you will be there. F, one up in stick. Because we like drama as Africans. This election make me know that Nigerians are just religious. We are not godly. If you support Tinubu against Obi, you are wicked. You know why? The Igbos did Biafra war. We say, come back, we are one. Since then, which other major tribe has not been given a chance? You said they shouldn't go. Common sense and balance. Peter Touch, I've been listening to him for a while. He said, everyone is crying out for peace here. But no one is crying out for justice. He said, how can there be peace if there is no justice? It's all I want is equal right and justice. When there is equal right and justice, you will find peace normally. You tell a part of the country not to go. You tell a useless old person who is not good for any other thing. And when I see you, you support it. I say, future, lone lawyer. Tell me, PDP and APC, which young person of your age has a chance? And you keep quiet. They will use up your future. In 8 years' time, do you know how old you will be? You will open your eyes one day and feel like, what did I use my life doing? Nations of the world are bringing young people. But you sit down and you shouted answers. So opportunity to do the answers to the call. And one Igbo man shebahi, one man shenye, they sold you a lie and you bought it. Can we come back? All I'm trying to say is, church people, you will think their mind belongs to Christ until when real issues happen. You will find that it was their mouth that belonged to Christ. Their mind belonged to their village. There's a dibia in their village whining them. Once you whine it, you begin to hear what they are spewing out. And from the microcosm of my house, I'm saying, hey, brother, so. So this is all in your mind. There should be fairness and justice. I will never call black white because someone from my tribe is the one doing it. I will say, this is not good. This is not good. Life should not be about you over and over and over again. Youth are the leaders of tomorrow. When is that tomorrow we are talking about? Your tomorrow is today. Because that tomorrow you are looking for, when you get there, you will find out that is actually... Can we go on, by the way? Sorry for the digression. When you align yourself, gradually his ways are becoming your ways. Are you listening to me? His thoughts are becoming your thoughts. You are dumping the things that used to rule you. You are embracing the things that govern godliness. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he says, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. He says, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, learn of me. Do you see that word again? Learn. We come to church to learn. It's like a school. I don't know how many years you studied in your institution, but in school, in church, is a lifetime school. You come with a mind ready to receive word. So for the rest of your life, three things you'll be doing. Number one, you will be learning. Number two, you will be unlearning. Number three, you will be relearning. You learn, you unlearn, and relearn. You learn, you unlearn, and relearn. For the rest of your life, all you will be doing is learning, unlearning, and relearning. You will never get to the point when you will say, I'm done. He says, learn of me. So we need to learn of Christ. So waiting upon him is not just going to a mountain or retreat in redemption camp. After 3 days, you are back. Say, now we know that this whole world will shake. That's not how to shake the world. You need to be a student of Christ for the rest of your life. You are in light. You are in submission. You are in yieldedness. Someone say, amen. So, why you need to wait upon him, it's because it's in waiting upon him that you renew your strength. That word renew is key. It means change. It means transformation. It means the level of strength you bear now is not good enough. Listen to me. Now, when you hit a gym, who is a gym addict here or a bodybuilder? Okay, it seems we don't have any. Okay, you gym. Okay, you are a gym addict. Regularly you go. When you get there, you are going to see some of your colleagues. Some of them, they are the ones who have built muscle. They were not born that way. So, you see some of them who just came into the gym with their stomach like this. Attention! They will do like this. It's not because they chose to do that. For now, that is their posture. Give the gym instructor 6 months. That thing has deflated. And then muscles are formed. Listen to me. There is a level of strength you can manifest that is in God. And it's available only if you are willing for renewal. Someone say renewal. Because each time you set a fire, chances are the wood will get spent and there will be ashes. And for that fire to burn continually, you must continually take off the ashes and put more wood. Someone say renewal. Now, the word strength is very germane in the Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word koach. The word koach is also what was described in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, where it says that you shall remember the Lord your God, for he is the one that giveth thee the power. You see, that word power is the same word koach. It means strength. It means might. The Greek equivalent of it is the word dunamis. A dynamic ability to achieve results. Let me give you a description. When Anthony Joshua, the boxer, tells me this one, shut up. You know why I will shut up? He has power to shut me up. One punch, my mouth is shifted. I mean, my jaw is moved from here to the back. And a policeman said, Desmond, shut up. I will still shut up. Anthony Joshua has power to shut me up. The policeman has authority to shut me up. Authority is permission under the law. Once I see that uniform, some policemen, if you catch them in corner, you can beat the living daylight out of them. And they used to do it in Nigeria. I say, shall you talk now? And you will see police shivering. But if you catch Anthony Joshua in corner, he will still beat you. Catch him publicly. He will still beat you. Why? He has dunamis. The other one, policeman, has exousia. He has authority. He has permission under the law. Listen, church. The things you don't have power to do, you at least have authority to do them. Say, me, I don't get power. But in the name that is above every other name, Jesus, I command you to comply. Praise God. So when the Bible says you will renew your strength, it means you will move from this level of strength to this one. If you are here, you move from here to here. Like we were talking about, some of you love boxing. We were talking about flyweight, lightweight, featherweight, bantamweight. Maybe for now you are a featherweight, or you are a flyweight, or you are a lightweight, or you are a chicken, bantamweight. God says you can move from being a chicken to being a heavyweight. If you are heavyweight, you can move from being a heavyweight to super heavyweight. Glory to God. In Ezekiel 47, the Bible told the story of that Ezekiel seeing that angel, and the angel took him through the flow of the water. At a point, it was at the ankle. At another point, at the knee. At another point, at the loin. At another point, it became a river that you have to flow in. Even when you come into a river, at that level, people like Desmond would have to be careful, because in my family, we are stones. You know stones. When you throw stones into river, what do they do? So when you get to the realm of swimming, we need to trust God to say, unto the Lord. Oh, no. You have to sing obituary song. At this point, you are dead. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nonetheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ that live in me. For the life I now live is by faith in him who has loved me and has given his life. Have you hazarded your life for this gospel? You still dwell in the realm when you are in charge, you are in control. Years ago, while serving as a youth core member, we were going for what is called rural rugged evangelism. And the devil told my president in our Christian Corpus Fellowship, it is at night we should travel. So we took a canoe, about 80 to 90 coppers, in a canoe on a high sea with someone holding torchlight to show the guy paddling the canoe, powering the canoe with a speedboat engine. But it's a canoe. Maybe my president can swim, I don't know about him. But I know the guy paddling the thing can swim. If anything happens, he will swim out. Friends, I can't swim. I can't swim. And by the grace of God, I said, Father, if it ends this way, I did it for the gospel. You know, it's a risk. No life jacket, nothing in the night. Friends, there are times when you come into this river, you know you are no longer in charge. It has to be by faith or nothing else. At this level, it's no longer the grammar I speak. It's no longer how many hours I pray. It's because I have chosen to renew my strength. There is a place called the point of no return. Years ago, I traveled to Badagry with my wife, and we had to cross certain place, and we got to where it's called the slave route. And in the slave route, there is a point clearly written. Point of no return. They said every slave in those days who gets there, it doesn't matter who you are, you can't return again. If God must help you, he should help you before here. Now, once you get here, they also had a well they called the attenuation well. They said, once you drink from that well, I don't know whether there's something fetish about it, it is Odigbere. Across the sea. And I saw my sorrow. The Lord says you will renew your strength. Why do you need to renew your strength? You can't mount up without strength. Ask every engineer. Plane, the aeroplane operate by a principle of lift, thrust, and pull. Let's not talk physics before we get into trouble. Art students, you don't talk physics. Some physicists will say, Pastor, stop at the point where you are. I'm wise enough to stop. But at least I know that the law of motion says every object remains in a state of inertia or in a state of uniform motion until an external force is exerted upon it. That's true about life, even in the spirit. You will remain where you are in destiny until there is a force exerted upon your life. And there is the force of the Holy Ghost saying, when you wait upon the Lord, there is a force powering you up. Now, I need to say this at this point. Pastor didn't say this is the year of jumping up. Did he say that? Because when you jump up, you come down. Birds have ability to fly whenever they want to fly because they didn't jump up. They mounted up. So to mount up is to come into the principles that continually makes you a high flyer. Hallelujah. He says, you will mount up with wings as eagle. I told you there have to be a force that powers you to be mounted up. And when we come to church, the only force that powers us to be mounted up is this, is the word of God. Is the word of God. You have come to hear his word. The more of his word you hear, the more of power and ability to fly that is released upon you. Let me show you something. Go back to Isaiah in chapter 55, and then we'll begin to read from verse 10. Now we'll read 10 and 11. Isaiah in chapter 55. Someone say, thank you, Lord Jesus. From verse 10. Now he says, for as the rain, please pay attention, because when you see as, literature, when you see the use of as and like, simile, God bless you, sister. He said, for as the rain, so when we say simile, you are using something that look like something to compare that thing. Okay? For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, so it's coming from heaven, and returneth not thither without watering the earth, meaning the rain and the snow doesn't leave the earth the same. It makes it to bring forth and to bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Now look at verse 11. It says, so shall my word be. Snow and rain doesn't leave the earth the same. The word of God that comes upon your life doesn't leave you the same. This word you are hearing now, it's not possible to be the same. As you hear this word, there is a deposit in you. Can I ask you a question? What color will you describe this as? Thank you. If you bring in a black dye and I dip this inside for 30 minutes, what color will this be? It will become black. It's not possible for you to go into a dye and come back the same way you were. It's not possible for God's word to be spoken over you and you live the same way you are. Just like the rain and the snow cannot come upon the earth and leaves the earth the same way, it causes it to bud and to bring forth such that it gives seed to the sower, it gives bread to the eater. So the question is, if you are a sower, when the word of God comes, it gives you seed. If you are an eater, when the word of God comes, it gives you bread. The difference between the sower and the eater is the sower can perpetuate. The eater is less eat and die. They are called eat and quench ministries. Eat and quench ministry. In English, they are called the Epicureans. Epicureans are people who believe is food for the belly. I mean, they just believe that feed your, tickle your fancy. Enjoy yourself. Or more, if you got it, flaunt it. As Epicureans. We have the other side, they are called the Stoics. The Stoics are those who believe in being astute, being disciplined. Are you listening to me? If you are an eater, you will get bread from God's word. If you are a sower, you will get seed. And there is this thing about seed. I tell them in the church, don't say I give money to church. After 6 months, I don't have my reward. I say, no, be corn you plant. Now pineapple. Did you get that? Okay, I said, no be food crop you plant, not cash crop. When you plant corn in 3 months, everything about that in lifestyle is done. But when you plant cash crop, cocoa, I had my great grandfather's cocoa that my grandfather got that he handed over. As we speak, some have died, but that farm has still remained. There's cocoa, there is kola nut. Are you listening to me? When you get seed, you are sowing for posterity. When you get bread, you are living for now. And I've come to announce that the church has been too populated by bread seekers, men who just want to live for now. And God wants to raise a generation of people who wants to live for what is about to come upon the earth. The word. Someone say the word. That's why Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, you are used to. You see, one of the problems I found out about the church. So these days, I like to go and preach from scriptures that are very popular. Everyday scripture. Because I found out there are too many scriptures we are used to singing that the real power and the real light in those scriptures we don't even know. So we are used to Joshua chapter 1 verse 8 that says, this book of the law, meaning the word of God, should not depart from your... So it means, number one, you must learn how to speak his word. He said in Mark chapter 11 verse 23, he says, if you will say to this mountain, go from here and go yonder, and will not doubt in your heart, you shall have what you say it. We must learn to go back to becoming speakers of his word. Speak to your situation, speak to your body, speak to your mountain, speak to the rock. You must learn how to sing his word. Are you listening to me? Don't just speak his word, sing his word. Someone, are you hearing me? Sing his word. Speak his word. He said it should not depart from your mouth. He said you shall meditate in it. What does it mean? It means think his word. Number one, speak his word. Number two, think his word. Your thinking must be altered by the word of God. See, don't judge current issues by how current men talk about it. Ask, what is the mind of God concerning current issues? So like when people argue over, hey, he won. I said, if you were, because you are turning into a tribal and religion. When you go to a doctor, you don't ask what tribe are you. When you board a train or plane, you don't ask the pilot what tribe are you. But when you come to politics, you will say, what tribe is he? When Buhari won 8 years ago, Malam in my 12th, we're celebrating. They are still under bridge after 8 years. The same way the Yoruba people will feel after 8 years of a Yoruba man. It's not about what tribe. It's about what vision, what dream, what mandate, and what process brought you in. You can't come in by stealing and fight corruption. How? How? So a Christian should say, see, there are times I support a football club. Presently, my club is nosediving. Nosediving. We will soon find gold where we are going down as Chelsea. So, there are times my club win a match. I'll be sincere to say that penalty was not a penalty. Luck called Jeff Nwane. Be truthful enough to say, although this thing favored us, but this process was cute. That's Christianity.
to say, it's okay. It's okay because it's about the person. It's wickedness. And do you know what? When you shut yourself at mercy, the day you cry for mercy, God will shut his face at you. Say, let's see how it feels like. So a Christian must judge current issues based on what is the stand of God's word. What is God's word saying? And that's why he says, speak my word, think my word. What's the next thing? He said, and you must observe to do, practice my word. Don't just speak it. He said, they're washing me with their mouth. Their heart is far away from me. Don't just be a speaker of the word. Be a thinker of the word. If you must ponder, meditate, do the word. And then practice the word. Someone say hallelujah. Practice the word. Shortly, I will tell you why you must practice the word. And we'll begin to tie up. He says, observe to do all that is written therein. Observe to do, not observe to say. Some of us read to preach. You are looking for Rema. Said, sit down. Those days I used to listen to such people. These days I log off. So since we've been sharing the word in Nigeria, what has it bettered our lot? I used to be very, very present in social media. These days it feels like I am dead. You know why? People no longer hear word to practice. They hear to share. At times, I just finished preaching. I see my members are put on their status. So, Apostle Desmond. In my heart, I said, have you digested this word? What do you think this word? I'm not looking for likes. Because in real life, when it matters most, those people who like will not like. Have you digested this word you are sharing? How about if someone take you up on this word you just quoted? Because most times, a quotable quote doesn't really explain the concept of the real message the person preached. How about if someone takes you up and say, this statement your pastor made, defend it. You can't defend it because you didn't digest it. See, when you read the psalm and you see the word sila, sila means wait. Pause. Ponder upon what you have heard so far. Don't go. Wait. So it's not by shouting sila, sila. It's like pause. So at time when I make a post, I put sila. Now if you understand, this post is deeper than what is in the surface. Go further. See, we are used to using the word good success. Good success. That's also misleading. Because we think if you have many cars, good success. You just move from Ikorodu to Ikoyi. Iko. Good success. You just moved from Igbo Ogede to Banana Island. Good success. There's a place called Igbo Ogede in Odokunyo axis of Ikorodu. Banana Island. Good success. Well, listen, some of the time, there are men dying of cancer in Banana Island. And they will wish they can find people in Ikorodu to heal them. It's not about your physical location. Some of the time, it's about your spiritual experience with the Lord. Are you still with me or I've lost you? So, when the word good success is used here, the real word you used here is the Hebrew word sakal, spelled S-A-K-A-L, but pronounced so, like sokal. The word sokal is the word also used in Psalm 119, verse 99. I want us to look at Psalm 119, verse 99. I'll show you something. The word sokal is not just good success, it's actually insight. It means when you speak the word, think the word, practice the word will give you something called insight. And by insight, you become prosperous. So, he says, I have more understanding. You see that word understanding, what circle. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Now, go to your PhD holder lecturer and say, sir, I have more understanding like you. You will fail that course. And you know what Pastor Chris Oyakhilome said years ago? He said, I would rather fail in school than to fail in life. He said, many of your lecturers, they passed in school, but they fail in life. They fail in destiny. And I agree with him. I would rather fail in classroom than to fail in life. There are many people who failed out of school. Today, they have made it big time. So, I met a man years ago. He's a dealer in timber. He sells timber. And he's rich. He's a millionaire at that point. You know what the guy said? He said, you know the secret of becoming a millionaire? He said, because I didn't make first class like you guys. He said, because I didn't make 2-1 like you guys. He said, when I left school, I made third class. I know nobody wants to employ someone like me. He said, so I quickly advised myself to employ myself. He said, today I employ first class graduates. He said, blessed be God that allowed me to make third class. Some of your setbacks are actually set up from God. Are you listening to me? Some of the issues that happened to you was God trying to drive you back to his word. As you submit yourself to his word, you will have insight that makes you better than your teachers. So your bank manager is still in the bank earning 780,000. And now the business idea God has given you is a multi-million dollar money spinner. You have more insight than your teachers. That is good success. Good success makes you airborne, powers you by insight that comes from speaking the word, thinking or meditating the word, and practicing the word. Someone say hallelujah. I go further this morning. I have 15 more or 20 more minutes to share certain light with you. So you see Paul, when he got to Ephesus in Acts chapter 20 verse 32, Paul speaking, he says, I commend you to God. I commend you to God and to the words of his grace. Watch this. Watch this. Which is able to build you up. We go back to the word mount up with wings. So when your strength is renewed, you are powered by the word to gain height, ascendancy in the spirit. So in Revelation chapter 4 verse 1, he said a door was opened in the heaven. And then I had a voice that said to me, come up hither. You are used to King James. And that's why it seems like everything is so difficult for you. King James is can be very difficult. Bible was not written in King James, men and brethren. Bible is written in Greek and Hebrew. And Aramaic. They only translated Bible to the language, in fact, initially to Latin, and then eventually to the language of the Elizabethan age. When King Edward said translate, they translated it to the Macbeth kind of language. So when you read King James alone, you get yourself into trouble. And these days we have Google Play Store. There are diverse, more modern, simplified translations. Are you listening to me? When the Bible says, come up hither. In other words, he's simply saying, where you are is low. Mount up with wings, come here. This is where you should be now in destiny. And I've come to announce to Harvest Word, it is time to mount up. It is time to go up. That the least amongst you will be where God has ordained him to be. That the smallest amongst you is attaining new height, is attaining new depth, is attaining new elevation. But the Lord God is promoting you, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. See the Lord. You believe me? Can you say amen? So Paul says, when I commend you to God and to his word, God you can't see physically, his word you can see, and by that word you attain height. You are not jumping up, you are growing up. So it's a year of growing up. One of my boys who's a pastor, I asked him, what's the theme for this year in your church? He said, it's the year of usefulness. I said, oh my God. The year of usefulness. He made a statement that touched me. And I was telling them in church. He says, Pastor, you know, I'm a terrible person. When you tell me things, I have ability to put jerseys. So my wife used to say, Derry, when they tell you a thing, when you begin to describe it, people will think you were there when the thing happened. So he said, Pastor, I told them, no more low current service. I said, I understand. Low current can be more very dangerous to equipment. If there is low current release in this place, now God forbid, you guys are going to quickly put off a lot of your gadgets. You know why? In a few minutes, it messes it up. So when your service to God is low current, you are more destructive than even the devil. Because you give a picture you are here, but you are actually a cancer. Not all growth are good. Cancer is a growth. It's a painful and killing and destructive growth. And the Lord God Almighty, we need to grant us grace to by his word. Take off every cancer from amongst us. Can you say amen? Amen? Don't jump up. Don't feign it. Don't even get a chair and climb the chair. When we remove, some of us are masters of creeping. I love the word creep. As in creep. And the devil too is very good at creeping people who pretend to be who they are not. See, it's not by the suit you wear, man of God. You see, young men just started preaching last week and they have 17 suits. When there are no Google Play Store where you can download multi-translation of scripture, I've always been, people wonder, oh, Pastor, you seem to know the Bible. Do you know how much of attention I give to the Word of God? You do 30 days vigil, you do 6 hours prayer. I do 6 hours sitting on the Word. to say, what really is this word saying? People have been preaching it before I came. What is new in this word? Are you listening to me? So then when I couldn't afford a suit, I could afford Bible worth 8,000 naira. I will save up. Say, Hebrew, Greek, key reference Bible, buy it for me. Dake's annotated Bible, buy it for me. Matthew Henry commentary, buy it for me. So someone saw me, pull my shirt, sat down. Oh God, what did they happen? Second, say you won't preach. I say, yes, so. Too many men have gone representing God badly, telling people who God is not. So I've had people who say, taught me by mistake, die by, taught me by accident, die by correction. That is not Bible. That is Jogomi Jagaban spirit. Taught me by mistake, die by accident. Listen to me. What God did to you is he built an edge around your life. That's what Job chapter 1 verse 10. Even Satan told. He said you built an edge around his life and you made his ways prosperous. God didn't give you the spirit that killed everybody that God once saved. Listen to me. There are two types of people on earth. The saved and the would be saved. The sinner, God sees them as would be saved. Because no more blood need to be shed. One blood has been shed for all humanity. If those that should be saved, you have sent all of them to hell. Kill them because they touched you. It's not the spirit of the gospel. Is the spirit of Jagaban. It was the man of God. The man of God, T.L. Osborne. So someone went to him and said, man of God, in your church, people don't fall. But I see a lot of healing takes place. He said, but in my church, people follow. Break chair, you know. But they get up, their life is still the same. And T.L. Osborne said, you know you are a butcher. You slay all of them. Me, I told God, I don't want to butcher anybody. Just heal them all. And I'm glad he's healing them. So the man had to review that his slaying ministry. Or else he will end up as Alakwata in Abato. Africans like drama. I'm an African. And I can tell you, we like drama. And that's why we are where we are. The white world has left us with our drama. There are some African presidents that are on Tekpa. They are Father Abraham. Like the president of Cameroon. Some of them have stroke. Must you die on the throne? But it's you and I that are powering them. We like to sit in our poverty and discuss about them. And then you are Jagaban army. See, he's a wise man. He's a wise man. The El-Rufai that is supporting Jagaban today, he was paid to support. Fanica Ode was paid to support. You think they love you? Fanica Ode has only one vision, to marry women and give birth. Yaka. So I was ministering in Warri. One boy was manifesting anointing. Pastor said, leave that anointing. Now go anointing. I go tell me go anointing. He said, we get there here. He said, by tomorrow, now, in faith, the eye go clear. He go back to waywardness. Leave her. Now, so you don't always demonstrate where pastors come. Carry chair, they are dancing. Say, no, me by carrying chair. Drop that chair. Some of them, if you carry chair, they go to their house like that now. Those are my people, I like them. When Naija Delta person won't say, I go blow you. Yoruba people are very nice, very poised. They will tell you ahead, dramata, magba, mahashele, worry man, go hit you. Ba, I go blow you. He has blow you already. Go! I know say I go blow you. All right, let's come back. You mount up with wings. It is God's word that powers your mounting up with wings. So Paul says, I commend you to the word. The way you handle the word is what determines how high you will fly. So you see the same people in the same church. Some are flying, some are not flying. It's not the pastor's fault. After all, Jesus pastored Judas. Judas still went to hell. So it's not the fault of his church. It's not the fault of his pastor. It is how he handled his church and handled the word of God. But I believe after today, everyone will begin to manage the word of God right. Can I round off this morning? So when God's word powers you up, for what reason? Do we just fly so that we can tell people, say, I know tell Nasa I go fly one day. You know, some people just want to be rich so that they can put their name on every billboard. So for those of you who thought, I'm going to die poor. Now you guys see? Ntogi, Maggie, I'm now flying. That's not why God blesses us. Listen, why you become a high flyer is so that, someone say so that, you can get an inheritance in God. That's what that Acts 20:32. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst the saints. That's really what I've come to talk to you about. That Harvest World, you have an inheritance in God. And that inheritance of the 8th anniversary you must receive. That as we, as God's servant, speak over you, you will step out of this place with an inheritance. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, as we round off. Now there are two broad divisions of the word inheritance. Do I still have you? Or you're already on your way out? Which of your club is playing by 1 or by 12 or by? Hallelujah. Oh, come on, hallelujah. There are two kinds of inheritance. Number one, we have inheritance for the saints. Now, give me 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 1 Peter in chapter 1, and then we're looking at verse 4. Now, look at this church. Come on now. It says, to an inheritance. Now, count it. Say incorruptible, say one. Undefiled. That faded not. So it is incorruptible. It's undefiled. It does not fade. What looks close to this thing here on earth? I know. I heard someone mention something here. Gold. Why they use gold to measure honors of the highest magnitude? So someone was blaming. How can you say Lionel Messi's World Cup deserve to give him FIFA best? And the journalist was trying to make stupid analysis. 1,000 bronze is not equal 1 gold. 1,000 silver in medals is not equal 1 gold. 1 gold is still higher than 1,000 silver. That's how it is. 1 World Cup is higher than every trophy you get in this thing, according to football rating. Hello? That's how your inheritance is in heaven. The Bible says it's reserved in heaven. That one, only when you get there. So that guy said, see you when you get there. If you ever get there. Will you ever get there? So when I see this, listen to that song. That's how it is. Some things you stored up, they just refuse to leave. Even after you are born, they just stay. So my wife was seeing me sing Kras Kimono. Under pressure, we were under pressure. And she said, Pastor. I said, the team just refused to leave, Joe. I don't try. She said, you'll try. And after all this, even the guy that sang it is dead and gone. But that's how it is, what you store up. So it takes years of rebuilding for you to delete and then reinstall. There's an inheritance that is reserved for the saints in heaven. But when you look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18, look at Ephesians in chapter 1, verse 18. Come on now. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. This is key, it's germane. That you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This one is in you. It's not reserved for you. It's in you. And you need to call it out. You won't need this one in heaven. You need to use it here. You need to call it out. You need to call it forth. Don't be like Lazarus suffering under the rich man. When you can do better. You see, why do we pray? It's because the hope of the believer is in prayer. Even if they say your destiny is evil, you can change it by prayer. Even when you have evil character, when you pray, there is the hope of change. Someone say hallelujah. When you look at Colossians, let's look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Colossians in chapter 1, and then verse number 12. He said, giving thanks unto the Father who had made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saint in light. This light here is revelation, is understanding. Sir, what made Oyedepo what he is today is light, not Winner's Chapel. If that man was an architect and has that light, he still would have been who he is. No other ministry in the whole world has invested in education like that man has invested. The whole world. No one single ministry. Do you know how many Kingdom Heritage schools that man has? That's the primary school, right? And then how about the secondary school? Faith Academy. And the universities, about three. Are they more than three now? No ministry has invested that much in education. It's light. Listen to me. Today you are a ticketer. By light, you may become manufacturer tomorrow. Light. Light. If you see the mystery around the life of Daniel, is that, go and read Daniel chapter 5, verse 11 and 12. He had light and understanding. He had ability to dissolve doubt, ability to answer questions. Where you spend all your life asking devils of your father's house to die, they will not die. They will not die. Demons don't die. The devils in my great-grandfather's time are still alive now, and they are coming for me. How I conquer them is not by asking them to die. How I conquer them is light. The more light I have, the higher I go. And because they are the power of darkness, they dwell in darkness, they can't attain, I can't assess where I am in life. So Africans are busy asking devils to die. Let me tell you the meaning. You are busy asking that someone you are pressing should never arise. When will you ever attain what you are supposed to attain before? So all your life you are busy telling demons, stay there, stay there, stay there. Stay. I kill you. You know, my people don't know, they say, I kill you. And then your purpose is there. Never attained. You are busy telling devil, I kill you. You know, Pastor was telling you guys some time ago, I was in a church, I won't mention the. They were singing devil, Holy Ghost, you owe me power. You owe me, Holy Ghost, you owe me power. So I was afraid. I said, Holy Ghost, I don't enter trouble here today. Oh, which kind of church I enter now? How can I tell Holy Ghost you are owing me? And God draw you, say, Holy Ghost is owing you. And let Holy Ghost pay now. I say, no, you shouldn't pay again. I have dashed him. Say, Holy Ghost, you owe me. Holy Ghost is not owing anybody. We like drama in Africa, I'm telling you. I have seen, that's why I'm telling you this. I don't want to sing that. Some other song, when I sing it, I get into trouble. I took my wife to Benin one time for a vigil. She noticed I was joining my friends to do the things they were doing. She's not looking at me. So now, hypocrite, I marry. But you preach against these things now. When we went back into the hotel room, I said, so I should not be doing my friends as if I am holier than them. When you keep friends who do certain things, you will do it now. I said, but their spirit is right. They are not occultists. You know that some of your debonair pastor, fried hair, well-scripted English, but they are of the devil. Some of them, we know them. We don't just mention you people. And I'm telling you the truth, too. We know them. Years ago, someone came from university, came to see me. He mentioned his father in the Lord. I know that man is an adulterer. Not a once in a while, a regular adulterer. I said, you can't be your father in the Lord. Guy left, never contacted me again. Few years later, they were accusing the man of certain things. He was in the group. He was the one that was accusing the man the most. I felt like slapping him from where I was. That what you are shouting about, I've known it for more than 10 years. Pastors are trained to keep quiet about certain things. Pastors know things. We know fake men of God in this Lagos. We just keep quiet. Until you relate with your pastors deeply, he will tell you some pastors who sleep with church members in his office. We know amongst ourselves. And it's not right we go and publicly mention him and say that it's not the right. It means even you, pastor, your mouth is not well guarded. One bullet, they kill you. Praise God.
So we want to pray. In 5 minutes, we want to pray. You have inheritance inside of you. So you know why? God told Joshua in Joshua 13. He said, Joshua, there is so much in you that what you are celebrating is little compared to what you have. Say you are waxing old in age. He said, but there is yet more portion, yet more land. So age is not going to be where we are going to plateau. So it's not going to be about age. Harvest word, there is more in you. There is more in you. Pastor Benga, there is more in you that is about to come out. Eyes have not seen it. Ears have not heard it. Neither has it come to the heart of anyone. Harvest World members have come to announce there is more that is about to hit you. There is more that is about to come out. Someone say, call it out of me. That is what we came to do. We came to call it out of you. As we begin to pray, I want you to get up this morning. Look at Joshua chapter 18. I want everybody to get up because we want to pray for at least 7 minutes. If I preach like this and I don't pray, it feels like nothing has happened. Notice the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. It takes solid to satisfy hunger. Am I right? It takes liquid to satisfy thirst. How you get the blessedness of the word? When you hear the word, you pray the word. And many times when you let time go, you forget what you heard. You are like that man, according to James chapter 1, from verse 25, who look up himself in the mirror and then sees who he is and then lives thereafter forgetting who he was. Okay, Joshua chapter 18. Joshua in chapter 18. From verse 1, we begin to pray. Joshua in chapter 18 from verse 1. If you forget anything I've shared today, don't forget you have an inheritance. Listen. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh. That word Shiloh is powerful. The word Shiloh means rest. I speak by the Lord over you, somebody. You have come into your rest. You have been tossed here and there by affliction, but you have come into your rest. You have been tossed here and there by reproach, but you have come into your rest. In Joshua chapter 5 verse 9, he says, from today or this day, I'll begin to roll away the reproach of Egypt from off you. I stand upon the word of the Lord. I demand and command that every reproach be rolled away. Rolled off you. Someone say, in the name of Jesus, my inheritance is not infirmity. My inheritance is not disease. My inheritance is not backwardness. Therefore, I stand upon the word. I refuse infirmity. I refuse.